Tammy, why don't you come forward? You know what? When there was that message in time, she felt like God had given her something too, and but she was struggling a little bit with fear. But we're gonna get over that, and I want her to be able to share that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as well. I just really felt like the Lord was just putting this on my heart, and as soon as Eleanor started to speak in tongues, I felt the Lord really, for lack of a better word, descending on me and just giving me this clear vision, this clear message, and I've never done this before, so hence the fear and the uncertainty. But the message was, I am the Lord your God, and I will not be mocked by this world. There are many secret agendas that are going on around in the world, some of them lurking in the shadows, some very blatant, but I am the Lord your God, and I will not be mocked. My children are wondering, where am I? I am here. I am in the midst of you, and I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You are not crazy. You are not crazy. The world is going to point and laugh at you and say that you are crazy, but you are not crazy. You have the Spirit of God upon you. You have the mark of God upon you. Don't be afraid to speak up against the darkness.
Thank you, Tammy. Actually, kind of goes in part a little bit with the message this morning, our Christmas message. So that kind of confirms that. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy. Surprised by Christmas. Most of us aren't very surprised by Christmas anymore. We've been celebrating Christmas for years. We know the story, but sometimes I think we have to re-look at the story and recognize how surprising it was for the people who first experienced it 2,000 years ago. We're going to be reading a little bit of the story this morning from the eyes of Joseph, but before we do that, I was thinking about being surprised by Christmas, and obviously the most surprising thing about Christmas was aspects of the birth of a baby named Jesus. Many years ago, when Catherine and I were having our very first baby, we knew that we're going to have a child. And as first parents, you're excited about that. And back then, there wasn't gender reveal parties. That's kind of a new thing. You know those days when you didn't know what the gender of your child was? So we weren't sure. But within my family, my grandfather had two daughters, and then he had a son. And then my dad did the same thing. He had two daughters, and then he had a son. So when I got pregnant, for my whole life, my sisters were like, you're going to have daughters first. And everybody around us, my parents were like, it's a girl. Everybody's telling us it's a girl. But for Catherine and I, we felt like the Holy Spirit had spoken to our hearts and said, you're going to have a boy. So we were like, okay, everybody expects us to have a girl, but we think this is a boy. So when Isaiah was born and we saw him and the doctor declares to us, you have a boy, I started laughing. I'm sitting there in the birthing room and I started laughing because I realized that what God had placed within our hearts was true, even though everybody was saying something different. And so the fact that like we thought we were gonna have a boy felt a little bit crazy to us because there's that thing of like, oh, you know, this is what has happened to my family all the way along. But God obviously had something else in store, right, Isaiah? There you go. How did Joseph feel when he was surprised by the pregnancy of Mary? Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, this is what it says. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. What do we know about this baby? When you read this scripture, what do we know about this baby? We know that Joseph is not the father. Surprise, surprise. In this day and age, that would not be a big deal. But it's the second part of this that is the most surprising, is that there is no other earthly father that is this baby's father. This baby's father is God, conceived of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures specifically tell us that Mary was a virgin. She had not been with any man. And so the Holy Spirit comes upon her and conceives this baby within her womb. No other time in history. You can imagine how Mary would feel, because there's no history to go back on. She can't look back at scripture and say, yes, this happened at some other point in time in history. This has never happened. His name will be Jesus, which means God is salvation. Why was he named that? Because he will save people from their sins. He will save people from their sins. He will be called Emmanuel. This is his nickname. I don't think Jesus walked around and people called him Emmanuel, but he definitely was given this nickname, God with us. Pregnancies are always a surprise. Even if you're planning on getting pregnant, once you are, it's a surprise. For Joseph, what should have been a good surprise actually turned into a horror story for him in front of his eyes the moment that he found out that Mary was pregnant. Can you imagine how disappointed he would have been? He goes through the engagement process, and here is this amazing young woman that he is going to marry. And he thinks of his future, and he thinks of what that's going to look like. He's thinking maybe of building a house and having a place where he comes home every day from work, and his children run out from the house to greet him. And the moment that he finds out that this woman that he has chosen is pregnant, and everything is going through his mind, who was it? Who was she unfaithful with? Who has she cheated with? Who has she slept with? What has happened? Mary, how could you do this? How could you do this to me? And so, being the person that Joseph is, he wants to break off the engagement quietly. He could have done it publicly. He could have done it publicly. I remember one day, my daughter does ballet, and we're dropping her off at the ballet, and the ballet center that she goes to, there's also, a body shop right next to it, and there's all these broken down cars that are outside, cars that have been in accidents or whatever, and one day there's a car sitting outside, and there's spray paint all over it. And I forget exactly what it said, but basically said something to the fact of cheater written all over it. Can imagine what happened there. Probably a young lady getting her hands on a spray can, very unhappy with her boyfriend. Maybe it was her husband, I don't know. Writing cheater all over the car. She wanted everybody to know what this guy had done to her. Maybe Maybe that's really sexist. Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe it was the... Anyways. You know what I'm going to say. But Joseph, in his disappointment, doesn't want to expose her publicly. He's disappointed. He's going to break off the engagement. But he wants to protect her. But as we see in this story, it's requiring a godly intervention of God showing up to Joseph in his dream and saying, Joseph, it is going to be okay. Everything seems broken. Everything seems messed up. Things aren't going the way you expected them to go. But I want you to know, Joseph, that I am in the middle of this. So take Mary as your wife. Marry her. Take this boy that is not your own and be his earthly father. Joseph had to have courage to marry Mary. Can you imagine the courage that he had to have? In many ways, when I was thinking about the courage of Joseph to choose Jesus as his son, even though he wasn't his biological father, there's three types of courage that came up to me in this story that I believe connects to us as followers of Jesus. That when we choose to follow Jesus, it takes this type of courage. The first one is the courage to take the world's disdain. When Joseph chose to marry Mary and accept this boy as his own, you can imagine the whispers that were going around. It would have been expected that they were fooling around before they got married. Joseph, you've been sleeping with your girlfriend. For us in the 21st century, this has not become a big deal, but 2,000 years ago, trust me, this was a big deal. In a city of 100,000 people, you can hide. In Nazareth, where it was maybe a few hundred people, there is no hiding. Everybody knew who Joseph was. Everybody knew who Mary was. Either Joseph, you got her pregnant, or she was unfaithful to you. You can imagine how people would have looked upon Joseph and Mary. For Joseph to choose this, he was accepting the disdain that how everybody would look upon them. You know, when you choose to follow Jesus, you will need to accept the world's disdain. Being a Christian following Jesus is not a popular thing anymore, if it ever was. Now more than ever, the Christian life, when it comes with the morals and the way that Jesus calls us to live, is looked at within our world as being harmful. Christianity is considered to be harmful. When we choose to follow Jesus, it's accepting and it's having the courage to walk that out even with the world's disdain. When Joseph chose this, he had to have the courage to give up his right to self-determination. When you, especially in the ancient world, when someone had a baby, it was the right of the father to name his child. That was the right of the father. This child was not his own, and he didn't have the right to name his child. He was told, you are going to name this boy Jesus. Your name is boy Jesus. The baby that was born was going to become his master rather than the other way around. The baby that was born, let me say that, the baby that was born was going to become his master. God never asked Joseph what he thought. God never asked Joseph if he was even in on it. He's like, Joseph, this is what's happening with Mary. Are you still with me? Do you still want to marry her? God was like, Joseph, I want you to understand something. Mary's pregnant. It's not your child. It's mine. And this is what you're going to do. Joseph had to give up his right to self-determination, his idea of how his life was going to go, where he was going to go, what he was going to do. He had to give it all up. When we choose to follow Jesus as Christians, we have to have the same courage that Joseph had in that way. He's saying, God, this is what I wanted to do. This is where I wanted to go. This is how I wanted to live my life, but I'm giving it all up to you. I give up my rights. I'm going to let you tell me. You are the boss. I'm no longer the boss. We're told that within our society today, the most important thing is to be true to yourself. Be true to your own self. But Jesus in Luke 9:23 says, take up your cross and follow me. To follow Jesus is so different because it's so contrary to what we're told within our world, to do what pleases you, to be true to yourself. But when we choose to follow Jesus, God says, no, I'm going to form you. I'm going to give you your identity. Take up your cross and follow me. When we choose to follow Jesus, we have to have the courage to admit that we are sinners. That comes right in the first chapter because Joseph is told that he is named Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't come just to make you feel good. Jesus came to save you from your sin. This is admitting, I mean, to like this idea of sin is just not popular within our world today, you guys. Pastors are almost afraid to get up and talk about sin. Sin is this idea of recognizing that we need a Savior because we fail morally. It's admitting that we don't love God and we don't love people the way we should. It's recognizing our guilt and recognizing that you need someone to forgive you. You need someone to come and save you. And to admit that requires courage. It requires courage to admit that you're a sinner. This is not even close, though, to the courage that God had to become human. God had to have incredible amount of courage to divest himself of all of his rights as God and to become a human being. But God had the courage to do that because he loved us. So how do we have courage to follow Jesus? We have courage to follow Jesus because when we know how much he loves us, when we know how much he's given for us, when we discover who he is, then that gives us courage to live for him. When I see the courage of Jesus, the courage to give up his life for me, man, that fills my heart with courage to give my life to him. In Isaiah 7:14, this is the scripture that Matthew quotes in chapter 1. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is a shocking scripture for Matthew to bring up and quote here. We read this all the time, but for the Jewish reader, when they would have read this for the first time, they would have said, what? You're quoting this scripture? The context of the original prophecy of this is during the time of the kings, when there was two different kingdoms in Israel. You had the northern kingdom and you had the southern kingdom of Judah. And King Ahaz is on the throne of Judah, and nations are surrounding him. In fact, specifically Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel is coming to make war against them. And he's scared and he's not sure what to do. And God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and he says to Ahaz, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. And this is how you know you will be okay. A child is going to be born. We don't know how that original prophecy was fulfilled. You see, within Old Testament prophecy, oftentimes there was an original fulfillment. And then within Jewish prophetic thought, they also believed that it could be fulfilled in other ways down the line. Some theologians believe that Isaiah's wife had a child. Some believe that maybe it was Ahaz's wife that had a child. When it says the virgin will conceive a child, that could also be interpreted in Hebrew as the woman or a young woman will conceive a child. So up until this time, when the Jewish people looked at this prophecy, this idea of Emmanuel, God with us, they would have read that as kind of a figure of speech. That God would have been saying to Ahaz, someone's going to have a child, and that's going to be a sign to you that I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you. Matthew reads this and he sees the prophetic fulfillment down the line that Jesus fulfills this in a greater way than it was ever fulfilled in the time of Ahaz. That it's not a young lady that's going to conceive, but in fact it's going to be a virgin. And it's not going to be this idea of a figure of speech that just God is with you like he's with us all the time in spirit, but literally, physically, this child is going to be God with us. In the Jewish thought, the idea of God becoming a human being was something that was unthinkable. When they thought of the Messiah coming, the original Jewish thought wasn't this idea that it was going to be God in the flesh. For us as Christians, when we read the scriptures and we talk about God coming in the flesh, it's something that we fully understand now and process. It's not a surprise. It's not a big deal. But in the thought of the original Jews that lived in the time of Jesus, the idea of this Messiah that's coming being God with us was not even on the radar for them. It was against everything that they believed in. And yet, there was something about this Jesus that convinced them that he wasn't just a man, but he was God in the flesh. Matthew isn't the only one who points it out. We read the scripture earlier in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. It was already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. This scripture is referring to Jesus. So Matthew talks about Jesus as being God. John talks about Jesus as being God. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says this, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Paul was a Pharisee. He was against Jesus at the beginning. The idea of Jesus being God would have been so far from Paul's mind. And here he is writing that in Jesus lives the fullness of God. We read Peter, he writes it too. In 2 Peter, in his letter, he says this, this faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. It's written all throughout this New Testament. All these followers of Jesus became convinced that this man wasn't just a prophet, but he was God in the flesh. What needs to happen for you to believe that somebody is God? Because they were not expecting this. They were surprised by this. Jesus, we see it through his words and his actions, claiming to be God. He forgave sins. This was something that only God did. He said he would come back to judge the earth. Once again, this is something that Jesus said he would do that only God does. He claimed oneness with God the Father. And he said, before Abraham was born, I am. He's claiming that he exists before Abraham lived over 1,000 years before him. Something proved to them that he was not just a human being, but he was God. God with us. God with us gives us hope. God just didn't look down and ignore our sinful situation. God didn't look down and just send somebody else. But he came down himself in the flesh. Mark 13, when I think about the idea of God with us, I think of Mark 3, verse 14. It says that Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. I love this idea, that they might be with him. God wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. He wanted to be with us. He called people to himself because he wanted to be with them. He wanted to converse with them. He wants to converse with you. He wanted them to learn from him. And he wants you to be with him so you can learn from him. He wants to be with you because he wants to give you his comfort. He wants to have a relationship with you. I like what Timothy Keller says. He says, the incarnation did not happen merely to let us know that God exists. It happened to bring him near so he can be with us and we with him. Christmas is surprising on so many levels, but what's surprising is the lengths that God went to be with us. And that is good news, folks. God loves you so much that he came to us in the form of a baby, in the form of a human being. God was so courageous. God was incredibly courageous to do what he did. Does that courage fill your heart? And I pray that it would. That courageous action would fill your heart with courage so that you can live for him. Despite the disdain that might be on you from the world to choose to follow him, that you would have the courage to do it anyways. Despite the fact that you've got to divest yourself of your own self-determination, that you would have the courage to serve him anyways. Despite the fact that it takes courage to admit your sin and admit that you need a savior, that you would have the courage to do that as well. Let us close in prayer. Why don't you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that our hearts this Christmas would be surprised once again by what you have done for us. That you coming as a baby was incredibly surprising to those people 2,000 years ago. You shocked Mary, you shocked Joseph, and you shocked every single person that came in contact with you. Lord, you didn't have to do it. They weren't expecting it. But you did it anyways because of your love for us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would have courage to follow you because your love would fill our hearts. There's so many things that want to fill our hearts with fear today. But like was said earlier, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be filled with that fear, but we'd be filled with your love, with your power, and with a sound mind. Jesus, may you be honored this Christmas with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.